Finding God's will may not be quite as difficult as most of us have made it out to be. We've spent the last few weeks actually just preparing for today. Because today, I want to show you what I think is the key to understanding God's will. And it's amazing how simple it is. One of the reasons it's simple is because it depends on God instead of me. And if you ever have a chance to depend on God instead of John, you're in a good place. Take that chance. Seem like if I have to figure stuff out, I'm going to figure it wrong. But if I can trust the one who understands me better than I do, who understands the world around me better than I do, who understands my past and my future better than I do, if I can depend on him, then I can rest. I can be at peace. I can have hope. So you see, the answer is going to be easier than we think it is because it all depends on us depending on him. So let me remind you what we've done so far. The first Sunday we said there are some things that we need to do to prepare for the journey. And basically, the basic preparation is to be willing to do God's will. And so we talked about how do we make sure that we're willing to do God's will? Well, out of Romans chapter 12, we learned that we become living sacrifices. In other words, that we say, God, your will is more important than mine. Your purpose is more important than mine. I'm going to sacrifice self so that I can become who you want me to be. And as we do that, then the other part of that verse is that we allow him to transform our thinking. Instead of the world conforming us to their way of thinking, we're going to let Jesus transform our way of thinking. That's how we start the journey. That's how we prepare. We demonstrate that we're willing to follow God's will by sacrificing ourselves to him, giving ourselves to the Lord, say, you're in charge and I'm not, and now change my thinking. That's where it begins. Well, then we talked about how he leads. Once we're prepared for the journey, we need to understand how he's going to lead. And the way he leads is one step at a time. He almost never shows us the big picture. He almost never says, you're at point A, and you're going to wind up over there at point B. Instead, usually what he does is he says, you're at point A, and I want you to take one step forward. And we take one step forward, and he says, okay, you've demonstrated your faith, and you've done well. Now I'm going to show you the next step that you take. And then one of these days, we wind up and we say, hey, I'm at point B. God, did you know this is where I was going to go? And he says, holy duh. That was the plan. But I didn't know the plan because that's how God works. One step at a time. All right? So, we prepare for the journey by saying, God, I'm yours. And I want your will. Then, we have to understand how he's going to lead, and the way he's going to lead is one step at a time. Then last week, we talked about what will be my part on the journey. What is my part on the journey? And it's really pretty simple as well. If we're going to prepare for the journey by saying, God, I want your will. I'm willing to do what you call me to do. I'm willing for your will. If that's the truth, then the best thing for me to do is to communicate with him. If I understand how he leads and I want him to lead, the best thing for me to do is to communicate with him. And so what is my part of the journey? My part is to communicate with him through prayer and reading his word. That's my part of the journey. If I pray, and not just when I need something, not just when something's broken, but I make prayer a part of who I am. I constantly practice the presence of Christ in my life. I'm regularly praying. If I do that, then I stay in communication with Him. If I regularly read His Word so that it becomes a part of my thinking and a part of my life, then I'm staying in communication with Him. I'm simply doing my part on the journey to find His will. All right? So, we prepared, we understood how He would lead, and we're willing to do our part. Now, here's the fun part. Here's today's joyful journey. Because when all of those things are in place, I'm willing, I understand how He leads, and I'm doing my part, then guess what? The joyful journey says, do what you want to. How many of you thought you'd never hear anybody in church tell you that? Do what you want to. That's the way this works. That's how you find God's will. You've prepared by saying, I'm willing. You understand that He's taking you a step at a time and that He knows what He's doing. You're reading and you're praying so that He's changing your thoughts and your heart and your mind. Then you just do what you want. It's actually pretty simple. Let me show you why I can say that. Look in the middle of the Bible and find the book of Psalms. It's usually right pretty close to the middle of your Bible. Big book of Psalms. And then look at Psalm 37. And when you find Psalm 37, we're going to look at verse 4. Psalm 37 and verse 4. This has become one of my favorite verses. And I'll bet you, if you're not familiar with it, it's about to become one of your favorites as well. I'm excited to share it with you. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. There's two steps there, two truths in that statement. First, you delight in Him. You delight in Him. What floats your boat, what gets you going in the morning, what brings you joy and peace and happiness in life is your relationship with the Lord. Delight in the Lord. The second part is, then He will give you the desires of your heart. So let me ask you this morning, who or what do you delight in? Who or what do you delight in? Where do you find joy, peace, purpose? Who or what drives you? You see, so often we say, God, why aren't you showing me what to do? Why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you doing something for me? And He says, because you still got it backwards. You delight in me. And then I'll give you the desires of your heart. When we wake up, we realize we've been given another day to spend with Him in His creation. And we live that day with that in mind. God, this is your day. You know when it says, this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. We always quote that on Sunday. That verse is not talking about Sunday. What day is it talking about? Today. Tomorrow it's going to be talking about tomorrow. Every day you read it, it's talking about that day. This is the day. Whatever today is, this is it. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. When we wake up and we say, the first thing we think of is, I get to spend another day in God's creation with God. And we start spending that time with Him. And we go to work and the people are yelling at us and they're acting ugly and they're being mean. And all the while, I'm saying, but you know what? I don't find my delight in my work. I find my delight in the Lord. That's how I deal with it. And we come home and the neighbors are acting ugly and they're parking in our yard and they're letting their dog come over to our place and blah, 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 blah. And we think, but you know what? I don't find my delight in my neighbor. I find my delight in the Lord, so I can deal with it. The car breaks down. The TV doesn't work. The computer won't reboot. But those things don't define me. I don't find my delight in those things. I find my delight in the Lord, so those things all of a sudden are not quite as important. You see how it works? If He really is my all in all, He really is what matters the most, then the beautiful thing is He's going to give me the desires of my heart. Now, before we get too selfish, we got to think this through just a little bit. We have already sacrificed our selfish desires by being living sacrifices when we prepared for the journey. We've already sacrificed self when we started this. And we've already said, God, start changing my thinking so I'm not conformed to the world, but You're transforming my thinking into Your thinking. We've already done that. Okay? Then we've already said, I understand how You lead, and I really do want to follow under those conditions, one step at a time, moving forward for Your glory. And then we've said, I'm willing to do my part. I want to read and learn from You. I want to talk to You in prayer. And while all of those things are happening, what's changing? Your desires. You see, your desires are becoming His desires. That's why He says, if you delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. Why? When you delight in Him, your desires become the right desires. And so God will give you the desires of your heart because your heart is in the right place. You want what God wants now because He has changed your want to. Well, I can't tell you how many times God has changed my want to. Can I be completely honest with you a little bit? There's still a few more want-tos that I need Him to change. And I'll bet you if you were being honest with me, you'd have to confess the same thing. You see, the more we delight in Him, the more our want-tos change. And as our want-tos change, then we wind up wanting what He wants, and so He gives us the desires of our hearts. Here's the cool thing. As God leads, He leads by directing our desires. You say, I want to know God's will. All right, if you're relating to Him well, you're where you're supposed to be spiritually. What do you want? Because the chances are, He is directing you by your desires. If you've let Him start changing your thinking, if you've let Him change your heart, He's changing your desires. They're the right desires. So you want to know, what does God want? The question is, what do you want? What are your desires? He leads us by those desires. Bruce Waltke is an author who wrote a book about God's will. And he said, when God is in control of your life, He is also in control of your desires. The things that you long for in your heart will be put there by the Holy Spirit. See, I think we make an assumption that is a false assumption. And that is, so often we think, if I go with God's will, it's going to be something I don't want. There's always what I want, and then God wants me to do something else. And so I'm not sure I want God's will, because He's going to make me do something I don't want to do. In reality, if you're living for Him, He's changing your want to, so what you want is what He wants for you. He's the one who gave you that desire to begin with. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. We make God's will a little too complicated. We think He's hiding it from us. Like I said, on the first Sunday we started this journey, we picture God as kind of a cosmic Easter bunny. And He's going to hide His will like the Easter bunny hides the eggs. And He's going to see if we'll hunt for it. And He's going to see how long He can keep it hidden from us and play a game. And that's not the truth at all. The truth is He wants what's best for us. He wants what will bring Him glory. He wants what will turn this world toward Him. He wants to use you in some marvelous ways to accomplish all of those things. He wants what's best for us. He wants us to know it. So the way He reveals that to us is the more like Him we become, the more He is able to change our desires to be the right desires, and then we get to do what we want to. It's a cool way to do what He does. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Therefore, my dear brethren, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence." You see, Paul started the church, and while he was with the people at Philippi, they obeyed the Lord and did what they knew was right. Now he's not with them anymore, so he's writing the letter. And he says, "When I was there, you guys obeyed. And now, even though I'm not there, it's even more important now for you to keep obeying. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." That's the way God reveals His will. He works in you so that He can work through you. He works in you as you delight yourself in Him. He works in you to give you the right desires. Then He works through you as He gives you the desires of your heart. If you're spirit-filled, do what you want when it comes to a decision, because the Spirit will be leading you. If you have a godly life, He'll give you the right desires. Charles Spurgeon, that great, they call him the Prince of Preachers. He is every Baptist preacher's hero, and most other preachers look to him as a hero. He said, "Men who delight in God desire or ask for nothing but what will please God. Hence, it is safe to give them carte blanche. Their will is subdued to God's will, and now they may have what they will." Men who delight in God find that He is giving them the right desires, and they can then follow up and live based on those desires. St. Augustine said something very similar, although much more simple. Augustine said, "Love God and do what you please." That is God's will in a nutshell. If you really love God so much that you delight in Him, that you're listening to Him, caring about what He says, that you're thinking His thoughts, He is changing you from within. So, love God and then do what you please. You see, there's one more thing that we need to understand. God is not a cosmic killjoy. Too often, we have the misunderstanding that God is some cosmic killjoy up there, that he's a religious type, and He wants all of us to become very serious, very stern, very religious, and have no fun. Even in our own heritage, there were folks who made it very clear that it's wrong to have fun. So we came up with a list of stuff that was fun, and we said, "You can't do it." Understand, God is not a cosmic killjoy. Matter of fact, the amazing thing is, the thing that flips our whole understanding upside down, is that God actually wants us to have fun in life. You remember what Jesus said when He was here? "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. There is joy in living a life for Christ. Because when we live a life for Christ, He changes us into who we are intended to be. He gives us a new way of thinking. And along with that new way of thinking, we want the right stuff. And so He gives us the desires of our hearts. Why? Because it's the right desires. There's joy there. You know, one of the phrases that I never have really related to when we talk about ministers is surrender to the call. Ministers say, I surrendered to the call when I was 20 years old, whatever the story. And personally, I never have related to that term, because for me, the call to ministry never required a surrender. A surrender means, I don't want to do that, but I give up. I have to. What a terrible way to live. I didn't surrender to a call. For me personally, that's all I ever wanted to do. It's joy. Of course, the last 6 or 7 months, I've rethought it a time or two, but that's a different question. And you know I'm kidding. Don't consider God's will as something harsh and hard and heavy that you have to surrender to. And if I give in to God's will, I'm not going to be happy and I have to give up all the fun. No! The truth is, that is where you find the most joy. Because God created you for that purpose. And if you're living outside the purpose, you don't fit. So you don't find the joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How does that happen? When you give your life to Him completely, you surrender yourself to Him so that He starts changing your thinking. You understand that He's going to lead you one step at a time, and you say faithfully, I will follow one step at a time. And you do your part. You learn to read and to pray and to communicate with Him so He can talk to you and change you into who He wants you to be. And as He changes you into who He wants you to be, do what you want and have fun in life. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for the good news that life can be joyful. Thank You for the good news that Your burden is light. Thank You for the good news that what You have in mind for us is only our best and Your glory. Lord, help us not to miss that. Out of misunderstanding or spiritual laziness or selfishness or pride. Help us not to miss it because of those things. Matter of fact, today, even right now at this moment, help us to set those things aside so that we can be right with You, trusting You fully, depending on You each day. Father, I pray that You would do a work in our hearts and minds in these next few minutes. And as You do, if there is an important decision that we need to make, an important step that we need to take, help us to know what it is You want us to do, and then give us the courage to do it. Is our prayer in Jesus' name.